Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
This is a reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1, 14, and 15. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. He went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a present from your servant." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Splish, splash. Splish, splash.
Bo and the Beachcombers, for your listening enjoyment. It's playtime, and we're going to play today. And no better play than in water. So I brought my noodle just in case. I want to tell you the story this morning about Naaman. Naaman, a great and mighty general. Naaman, a royal commander. Naaman, the friend of the powerful. There was just one problem. By the way, I'm going to walk around today, so just letting you know. There was just one problem with Naaman. He had leprosy. So he was not a guest on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or any local channel, for that matter, because he had leprosy. It doesn't really translate well on the camera. He had great stories to tell, but nobody wanted him because he had leprosy. If you had leprosy in those days, you were considered unclean and sinful. The good news about leprosy is you could tell who was unclean and sinful. If you had leprosy, you had that. We hide our leprosy underneath. So turn to the sinner beside you and welcome them to worship. And turn to the saint who's beside you and welcome them to worship. Naaman was a great general, but he had leprosy, and nobody wanted to be around him. Imagine a great general who did wonderful things in the world, but he was lonely and alone and misunderstood. He was a leper. He had a young servant girl who said to Naaman's wife, could I tell you something? Sure. Where I come from, there's a prophet. And if the general, would go over there, the prophet would heal him. And his wife said, "You got to be kidding me. You're just a kid. What do you know?" She says, "Well, I know the prophet." So Naaman went to the king and said, you ain't going to believe this, but my servant girl says there's a prophet in Israel who can cure me of my leprosy. Reckon I could go over there?" And the king says, "Absolutely."
Splish, splash.
Got to work on that a little bit. Now, Naaman is a mighty general. He is a mighty warrior. He packs for the weekend trip silver and gold, 10 sets of clothing. Some of you pack like that for a weekend trip. He gets his horses and his chariots. He has a protection detail, and probably he takes, a column or two of soldiers, and off they go to Israel. The king of Israel says, something about this ain't right. He's a great warrior. He's coming over here with chariots and horses. What y'all reckon he's coming over here for? Well, Naaman has a letter from King of Aram. And the King of Aram says, please welcome Naaman. He comes in peace. Everything will be all right. The king tore his clothes. Rent his garments, is what King James says. In English, it means he ripped his clothes off. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want my king to be walking around like that. Elisha, the prophet, finds out what has happened, understands Naaman is in the country, understands Naaman has come with all his entourage, understands the king is rightfully upset. And Elisha says, it's okay. Send him down to my house and everything will be fine.
Splish, splash.
That sounded more like the Addams Family to me. But we're all right. Now, Naaman takes all his gold, all his silver, all his 10 changes of clothes, all his entourage, and goes down to Elisha's house, and there's a kid out on the road waiting on him. Now, let me ask you this question. If Spider-Man or Captain America was coming to your house, would you send a middle school boy out to the road to give directions? Only if they had been a part of Annabeth's youth group. Otherwise, you know what a middle school boy is doing. First of all, he's out there picking his nose. Second of all, he's picking up rocks and throwing them. He throws some up and swings for the fences. He's drawing in the dirt. He's a mess. Nobody in their right mind would send a middle school boy out to meet General Norman Schwarzkopf as he comes to your house for lunch. But Elisha did. And the kid goes, hey, ain't you that general I've been hearing about? Yes, I am. The prophet said to tell you to go down to the river and dunk 7 times. Yes, cannonballs count. Go down there, jump in the river, and if you do that, everything will work fine. So far, we've had two kids in the story. One, the young woman who got him over to Israel, and two, this middle school boy out there giving directions. Naaman says, you gotta be kidding me. I came all the way over here for that? Some of y'all will go home today thinking the same thing. You gotta be kidding me. I came to church for that? Naaman said, the waters at home are a whole lot better than the waters of Israel. We're going home. And the third kid comes into the story and says, sir, almighty master, oh great and living general, sort of like how Gail responds to me at our house.
The waters of our home are certainly superior to the waters of Israel. But kind sir, oh loving general, what have you got to lose?
Splish splash.
Yeah. What have you got to lose? And so Naaman says, well, nothing. Give me that noodle. And so Naaman goes down to the river. And he dunks one time. And nothing happened. He dunks two times. Nothing happened. He dunks three and four and five. And he's thinking to himself, I should never have listened to those kids. But the guy on the shore says, that's only five, you got seven. He dunks the sixth time and comes up, nothing. He goes under the seventh time. And when he comes up, he's clean. From head to toe, he is healed. And then there was some splishing and splashing going on. You know, Naaman didn't go, well, I'm clean, let's go home. He was going, yahoo! Sorry, yahoo! Don't watch this one when you go home. He was splashing. He was having a party. He was saying to the soldiers, y'all come on in here and dunk your own selves. Look! Scripture says, when he came out the seventh time, his skin was like that of a baby's bottom. Whoa. You remember baby bottoms at your house? Innocent and beautiful and smooth and fresh. Naaman was healed because three kids managed to get him in the water. Because the prophet gave him instructions for cleansing. Because for all his power, all his prestige, all his conquering, Naaman was clean. And there was a party going on. And they were splishing and splashing in the water. And Naaman comes up and goes, now I know there is no other God in the whole world but the God of Israel.
Splish, splash.
So, that's a great story, Prosper. What has that got to do with me? Well, number one, you probably have some wise children, grandchildren, family children in your life. Sometimes you ought to listen to them. You probably think yourself wise, and maybe you are. But sometimes you need to put your own wisdom aside and say to somebody, could you help me? I got to tell you, It's hard to say the H word. At my house, I know how to say, honey, I'm sorry. I've had plenty of practice, and I'm about there. Honey, I'm sorry. And I've come to understand how to say to people that I care about, Katie, I love you. John, I love you. Jerry, Patsy, because y'all always go together. I love you. I've had plenty of practice saying I'm sorry. I've had plenty of practice saying I love you, but it is really difficult to say, Annabeth, could you... April, I need some... Christian, could y'all play Splish Splash during the sermon? Because there's always... There's always the moment when they could say no. There's always the moment when Christian might say, you gotta be kidding. There's always the moment when I may not be as wise as I thought. And when we ask for help, there's always that pause, hoping against hope that you'll say yes. Could you help me? In these moments that we spend together, I'm asking you to help me get ready for what's next. In these moments that we share together, I'm asking you to help me get ready. By being present and worshiping with us together, by giving 1% more than you've been giving to the life and work of the church, by taking leadership roles seriously and putting your wisdom to use as we work together, by asking for help when you need it. So, how do you complicate your faith when the simplest things can help you go deeper? Just go dunk in the water. What do you got to lose? But we complicate it. Well, I got to go to the building and grounds people and see what they say about whether the water is safe for me to go dunk in there or not. Well, we'll have to take it to the finance committee because, you know, I got my entourage that are coming with me, and before we get down there, we need to make sure. Well, we'll have to take it to the church council because they approve anything that happens around here at the Jordan River, and then we'll have to take it to the church to vote to make sure we're doing things the right way. And so Naaman, 6 months later, is still trying to get his toe in the Jordan River. I'm much more interested in people than I am the process. I'm much more interested in doing the right thing. Sometimes it won't be the right way. Sometimes you'll say to yourself, we ain't never done it that way before around here. And I will say amen to that. Second thing I would ask you today is, who are wise guides in your life? Not only how are you complicating your faith, but who are some wise guides in your life. Some of them may be middle school boys throwing rocks out in the street. Some of them might be a staff. I tell you, you are blessed with a staff. I hope you realize that. Thank you for that amen. That should be a whole bunch of amens, but that's all right. I know some of y'all are scared to death. It's so easy to step into this because of them. I don't have to worry about all the minutiae of ministry because I know the staff is ahead of me, and I know the staff is behind me, and that is such a blessing. And I know churches that would love to have the staff you have. Who helps you see God? A little girl said, if you go see the prophet in Israel, he'll take care of that leprosy. The middle school boy out by the road said, if you just go dunk in the Jordan, everything will be fine. The assistant to Naaman said, what do you got to lose? There are people in our lives who help us see God if we pay attention to them. There is work to be done. And God has put us in this time and in this place to get the work done. Are you going to complicate it? Are you going to get busy with it? Are you going to ask for help? Or are you going to try to do it all on your own? Are you going to pay attention to the wise guides that God has put in place here, or just ignore it? There's a lot of work here for us to do together.
Splish, splash.
Amen.